Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week for needlework artists.
Yay.
And I say that, and we're going to go on a little break here. no stitch hour tonight, and then we're not going to have anything until May 31st. So we'll have another a podcast on the 31st. But there won't be any Sunday shows, no Wednesday shows until the 31st because life.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It happens.
Yep. I got to travel, and the traveling is such that there's just no time to record, and the whole thing is just going to be jumping through a bunch of really big hoops to pull it off, so we're just not going to do it. So yeah. Take a break. For those in the United States, that's this Sunday and then the Memorial Day weekend. And for those around in the rest of the world, sorry. Hope there's a holiday in there for you somewhere. But anyway, yeah, I just can't. It just doesn't work out. It's just, yeah. So
yeah,
I'm not going to apologize. It just is the way it is.
Right. And you know, you can always go back and listen to old Fiber Talks.
There are a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. We've done quite a few shows.
Yep. Yeah, there's probably 600 of them. So
yeah.
Go nuts. And that doesn't even count the live shows. How many live shows? So
I don't know
either. I don't count those. Yeah. Yeah. So go crazy. Yeah. Yep. Pull a few out. Yep. There was somebody wrote not too long ago about how she wasn't interested in samplers and wanted us to do other topics. And, you know, to that, you know, how many shows there are, I made a list. She was more interested in needlepoint. So I just did a quick run through of the website and came up with, I don't know, a whole list of needlepoint shows that we'd done. And it prompted me that if I had a spare minute, that I could sit down and figure out how many cross-stitch designers we talked to, how many embroidery ones. And, you know, that it really illustrated, just doing that short list for her, how many shows we've done in all of the techniques. And, yeah, if there's one you're interested in or you want to try something different, trust me, there's several of them in the now almost six plus years, that we've been doing these shows. There's several of them in just about any topic you can imagine. So
And then you're not even looking at those live shows like we did some with Orna and
right.
Gay and Rogers with the, you know, so again, definitely Canvas people there.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. On the YouTube channel, if you click at the top there, if you click on live, there's a whole boatload of shows there that don't show up on the website. And those are all live shows, Wednesday night shows. A lot of them have guests in them showing things, explaining things. Yeah, how many Gay Ann Rogers have we done?
I don't know. Festival. I don't know. Quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're looking for another technique, we've done a show at least twice, three times, four times, maybe more in that topic. I guarantee you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Explore. WeTalkFiber.com. All kinds of stuff. Yep. So a little break till we're back the 31st and get back to our regular schedule. But we just have to take a couple weeks here just because that's the way things are.
Yep.
And speaking of shows we've done in the past, Sunday's show on mental health. If you haven't listened, please do. I think it may just be the best show we've ever done, and it certainly came out a lot better than I expected by far. I was really proud of that one.
Yeah, I think it was a really good show, and I think it's timely. I think there's a lot of stress and anxiety in the world right now, and it's just kind of nice to you know have someone talk about it.
Yeah,
and that's what we need to be doing, talking about it.
Yep, good idea, Beth. Way to go.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
and share it with others. If it hits you and it makes an impression on you, and share it with others, please. Tell others about this show. Pass it on. Pass the link on. There's a link in the YouTube channel for the video, and then there's the regular podcast one. And, you know, obviously, if you listen through podcast apps, where the majority of people do, you can share that through those apps too. But yeah, share it with others, and let us know. Let us know. We've already heard from several who have said that what needlework has done for them in terms of mental health and getting through tough times. And yeah, let us know. Tell us the stories if you're willing. Right. You don't have to, but
right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, we'd like to know. We'd like to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, that one timely, and we had a really good discussion on several fronts. So that was good.
Yes.
And huge thanks to Kathy Andrews for making the time to join us.
That was great. Yeah, she had a lot to contribute. She was good, very excellent on that. Excellent.
Yep. As she is on just about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Go listen. We've done, I don't know, 3 or 4, 5 shows with Kathy Andrews. Yeah, look those up. Yep, you'll enjoy them. Yeah. She does beautiful work. Hey, speaking of that, she mentioned that she used to have a blog. What was it? Not One More Thing?
Yes.
Yeah, about not buying anything for a year.
Yeah. I know. We all know that I couldn't do it. At least needlework related.
Yeah.
But could you not buy any needlework for a year? Needlework supplies?
You know, I think I could.
You think you could?
Yeah.
Go for a year without buying anything.
I think I could. If I said today, I am not going to buy one more needlework thing until May of 2024. Yes, I think I could.
Okay, then I got to ask you, what about Yvette Stanton's new book that's coming out?
Oh, Way to Wreck It.
We got to think about these things. You got to think about these things.
I think I could. I do. Because, you know, I would just say to myself, all right, that'll still be available in May of 2024. So I'll make a list.
Oh, yeah, so you'd have a very long list.
So May will be a very expensive month next year. No, I think I, and the reason, and I don't say that just to be whatever, because I've been sitting here, and I've been extremely busy lately, and so I have not done much stitching. But where I record is in the same stitching studio room, surrounded by all my needlework stuff, and I have so much stuff that. Even if I tripled the stitching time that I have right now, I couldn't even scratch the surface. And so, you know, the little voice in my head is saying, yeah, just, you know, a hiatus would be good.
Well, and my problem was, because I did think about it, and I thought, okay, now you got two big problems with that for a year, is that Jen Aiden Christie's Owl. I've put myself on her wait list for that. So if that came up, because it's a, you know, I don't think she releases them that often. No. It's not like you're like, you know. And then we're doing a workshop. Well, that would be in 2024 of November. But no, I have to pay for it before then. So yeah, we're doing a couple of workshops with my guild, and I think those two would just. So I guess maybe if I put a caveat on it and said, you know, with the exception of these things, maybe, I don't know. I should. I mean, I have plenty of supplies.
Yeah.
As we know, enough to keep me busy for quite a few years.
That is established in the ledger. Yes, it is. No, yes. But see, now I would allow, in my mind, I would allow some exceptions. For instance, Gayan Rogers is going to offer her white work sampler.
Right.
That you just worked on. Now, I'm getting that. So I would make that exception because mainly because if you don't get it when she makes it available, which I guess is June, I'm not sure, you may not get it again.
Right.
I mean, that's legit. That's legit, as opposed to a book or a chart from, you know, a regular designer where it's going to be available in a year.
Right.
That's legit, because, I mean, it legit could be that she would never offer it again.
Right.
She got peer pressured into doing it, so.
Yes. A lot of people were requesting it, and so, yeah.
So, see, I would make that exception, and then now, you know, a project that's you're going to do in 2024, well, all right, you got to buy it ahead of time, so whatever. It's not like it's sitting in your room waiting to be stitched.
Right.
So, yeah. And then getting on a list, you know, there's another one, the Jenny Aiden Christie's Owl. May not be offered again. Got to seize it. Got to jump.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because she doesn't offer them very often.
Right.
And, you know, it's not something you can get. It's not just a chart. It's not just your normal little piece.
Right. And I would also say that an exception, a legitimate exception, would be buying skeins of thread because a project you're working on, you borrowed the skein from one kit for another, or you don't have enough thread, you know, those kinds of things. But to go along buying kits and charts and projects and signing up for classes and stuff for a year, yeah, I think I could do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In my hot shelf right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, 15 of them that are either ready to go or in some state of started.
Only 15?
That's in my active box. Now, if I go down one more shelf, there's four more that are kitted, but I've done nothing with them. And if I go down the next shelf, there is a stack of charts that is easily 8 inches tall, just charts.
Just charts.
So, and that doesn't count the two boxes that are in the closet of charts. And it doesn't count a whole four-drawer dresser of linen and canvas projects. That's where I'm pretty confident I could go a year and just say I'm not spending any money on it. Yeah.
Oh. It just makes me nervous just to think about not doing, you know, saying, okay, well, you can't. I don't know why. I mean, I don't need to. I think it's the... Well, what if I fail kind of pressure, but I guess it doesn't really matter because who would know?
Right. Fear of missing out. Okay. You set that aside.
Yeah.
But right. it a year is not that long. Number one, you know, I always feel like you can do anything for a year. And I mean, some of these samplers I've got set up, geez, no way I'd get it done in a year anyway, you know?
Right. Right. You know, how many projects do I have that will take me like more than a year to do that? I have the whole kit up for, and I know it's going to take 2 years to stitch.
Yeah. And you say, well, yeah, but what about that one that comes along that, what does Jennifer say that her brain's burning or whatever it is?
Right. Yeah. Her brain's on fire.
Yeah. But you know, what about one of those? Well, come on.
Right.
Can you set it? Can you wait? Or how many do you already have that aren't that much different?
Right. Right.
That aren't like a really challenging one. How many do you have that are almost equally challenging?
Right. And, you know? Or that are so similar. They, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because what is that one from a sampler that we're going to do? Are you already started?
Jane Turner. No, yeah. I haven't started. All I did, it's Jane Turner.
So, there, you know, there's one that I didn't even count that when I get it goes right to the top of the heap. And
right.
Kim's just waiting for two or three threads from the distributor, and then she'll be shipping that to me. So that's going right to the top of the heap.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, yeah, there's, and it sounds ridiculous. I mean, we just accumulate so much stuff, and it's just kind of a bad habit, but it's also part of the fun.
Right. You know, then people will say that collecting is the other side of this yeah. this hobby. You know, we, you know, it's not just to have the stuff. It's kind of fun. I was looking through some of my stash and I was like, oh, look, I forgot I had this. And this is a complete kit. Wow, I could start this. And I'm like, no. No more starting until we get something else finished.
Yeah. And we're not alone. You know, we're not alone. And there are people who I'm sure listen that have one or two projects and they stick to that.
Right.
And we just don't have that discipline.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. And it's fun to see the kits and to see the new projects. But yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, in fairness to us, doing this job exposes us to stuff in all disciplines. And it's really hard to resist. It really is.
Right. Yeah. Especially, you know, something just totally different, something totally new. So, you know, or new to us.
All right. So, okay, with all that all laid out on the table, do we say starting today? Or starting June 1st, we're not going to buy anything until June 1st of 2024, other than the exceptions we've laid out?
Oh, we're going to commit on air.
I'm just asking the question.
It would be a good discipline.
That is one of the great politician cop-outs of all time, Beth.
Yes, absolutely. Let's do it. June 1st.
Okay.
Stitch from stash.
Whatever you buy between now, it's the 15th, the now and the 31st of May is okay. You know, whatever you've ordered or is in play, you got to let that go. And then anything you have to pick up to, you know, your shortest skein, short some thread, whatever. You know, that's all legit, but to go out and just buy new stuff from June to June. And, if someone gifts us something, that doesn't count. That's okay.
That's okay. Gifting is okay.
Yeah.
Gifting is okay.
Please gift everything, please. I'm game to try. I am.
Let's see how long we last. I'm willing to try. I've been thinking about it for a while, actually, because it's like I have beautiful kits that I want to stitch, and I'm like, why do I keep accumulating? I got to finish what I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay.
All right.
We're going for it. We'll see how we do.
Oh, yeah. So, Kim, don't open your shop for a little bit, or open it real quick so I can come see you.
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Crystal West, quit. Just stop. Just stop.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I pulled out Aegean Sunrise because I thought this is silly. I need to get this on the back of my jean jacket. So I was kind of looking at how I needed to prep it to get it on the back. And I thought, and then I saw one of her cushion kits and I thought, ooh, maybe I could start that. That would be a good travel project. And then I thought, no, that cushion is huge. I can't take that. I'd be blanketing Max with this fabric while I'm stitching in the camper. So that might not work. So. But, yeah, so don't put out any new ones, Kim and Krista, so I can.
Yeah. You got to get that jean jacket done because that's going to be cool.
It is. It is. Yeah. And it's been stitched, and I just need to tack it down and get it on there. It's not that hard. A matter of doing it. And I should have, if I had been smart, I would have done it over the winter when I can't wear it. Now I want to wear the jacket and I'm like, oh, I have to get this done quick so I can put it on.
Yeah. And when you get it done, hide it when Rachel's home because it may disappear. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Although she might say, you could do that for me.
Yeah. Jacket? What jacket, Mom?
What jacket? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep.
Of course.
Okay. All right. We're going to go for it.
All right.
Yep.
Are we going to see if Jennifer and Cindy want to join the insanity? I can hear Cindy saying, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll see what they say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't see Jennifer getting in on it. No.
No.
All right.
No.
We'll give it a try. We'll see how we last.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Have to keep each other accountable.
Yep. Failure is an option.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep. So there. Okay. All right. We're going to give it a run. All right.
All right.
And yeah, just to reiterate, some peer pressure. Well, that was from a Wednesday night show, was applied to Gayanne Rogers. So the Beth finished. You finished, or you're nearly finished with the White Work Sampler as one gorgeous piece by Gayanne. And so she's going to offer that in a, what it's just going to be a special sale, right?
It is. It is a special sale. So you should sign up for her newsletter on her webpage, because she only sends out a notice when she's going to have a sale. So you know, just sign up at GayanneRogers.com and sign up for her newsletter. She'll, if she offers it, she'll put a little post in there. Or read her blog. I think her blog is interesting. It's, well, her webpage, it's not really a blog anymore. It's on her website.
Yeah.
But she does little things, and they're fun to read. They're fun to read. Yeah. So
if you're interested in that, the White Work Sampler, that's coming up. And you know, if you follow Gayanne Rogers at all, she only does a couple sales a year. You can't just buy her stuff on an ongoing basis. You can only buy it during the sales, because she does the sale, then she mails out all the stuff, and then she goes back to designing and stitching. And she does that purposely, so she isn't constantly having to mail stuff out.
Great. Can't blame her for that one.
Nope. It's a good strategy. Now, her sales are monstrous, and you got to act quick, because she sells out quickly. So,
yes. And this White Work one is not, I'm going to tell you guys, it's not a beginner piece. It's just not. It is so, there is cut. I mean, her instructions are fantastic, but that's why she hesitates a lot to offer it, because she doesn't want to hear complaints from people. So I'm going to say it online. It's not a beginner piece. You do want to have, be confident. You will be cutting. And I did make a mistake, and I cut some wrong threads, but because I'd done it before, I knew I could fix the problem. Yeah. So I just, you know, rewove, and away I went. So, yeah, you definitely you need to be brave on that one.
Well, not a beginner piece, but even beginners with her instructions, if you're determined, you can be successful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You just need to make sure you're that person who's going to be determined and just patiently. Yeah. Step one, step two, you know, go through.
Yeah. If you think you're going to sit there and watch TV and have half your mind on the project, don't buy it.
No.
Because it's not going to work that way.
No.
Your full attention.
It needs your attention, you know, counting, all that good stuff.
And I'll talk real nice to her right around the sale there. Maybe we can get her on a show to, talk about it, give some tips and that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see.
Definitely.
Yep. Haven't had her on in a while anyway, so that would be good. Always just great to talk to her. I just learn something every time. Every time. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, summer's coming. Summer's coming. Does your stitching time increase or decrease?
It definitely decreases, because I'm gardening, I'm outside, walking now. I just, even though there's more light, we generally go for a walk in the evening. I get up and garden. Yeah. Less time.
Yeah.
How about you?
Less time from almost zero. No, definitely less time. Without a doubt, less time, and same kind of reasons. Ride my bike, doing other things, and it gets to be less, and then picks up. And it's crazy because, yeah, you got more daylight. You can have more light coming in through the windows, so better conditions. But, yeah, you can also be outdoors. So
Right, enjoying the fresh air. You know, we live in the Midwest, and, you know, winter is here. You know, when winter's here, it's, you know, you're inside. So.
Yep. Yeah, gray sky season. Yeah, when that shows up. Yeah.
Yeah, inside. Yep. Inside.
So, yeah, it gets less. It gets less. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I find I stitch things that are easy to pick up and put down again. So less difficult pieces, maybe. So I probably am going to pull out Alice Ellen Usher here because it's a single color. It's a bunch of alphabets. So it'll be nice stitching with a single thread. I just, you know, you just stitch away, you know.
Yeah.
So it's that'll be relaxing to pull that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you guys have that cool little teardrop camper thing. And so you'll be heading out, I'm sure, many times.
You're right.
How do you do that? Do you have one or two stitching projects? Do you have, do you keep them simple? How do you go about that?
Well, and I try to keep it so it's like a kit. So it's everything is there. Everything that I need is all together. Avlia designs are perfect for that. These little embroidery kits are her cross stitch kits because everything is there. It's generally very simple to stitch, and you know, I can just go to town, and it's, I feel like it's washable. I can throw it, you know, if it gets a little dirty in the camper, I can wash it when I'm done. So I try to keep things like that. The other thing I do is like a Mill Hill bead kit, because they're, to be honest, they're not that expensive. So if you lose the whole stinking thing, you know, it's, you're not out a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And I found I can stitch on the perforated paper in the car.
Oh.
So that's one of the reasons I love those, because then, you know, I have the perforated paper. I can stitch in the car if we have a long drive, easy to stitch in the camper. And I even bead in the car, which I have a little, like a beading tin. I put things in and I bead and I can do that. So I've even, on a long car drive when the kids were real, real little, I completed a whole piece on a drive to Florida.
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, we were in the car forever from here,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like, okay, I got to do something. We go crazy sitting here in the back seat.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, right. So I like kits. I like things that are fairly simple to stitch that aren't very complicated, just something to keep my hand. And I love actually the surface embroidery. So I have a Stitch Stories kit, and I can't remember the name of it, but it has little teacups on it. And I want to stitch that up because I'm going to use it to make a tea cozy to cover my tea pot cup in the winter. And I'm thinking, I need to do that now so I can get it made up so I can have it in the winter.
Right, right.
So,
that's a key thing, though, that you brought up about projects that are washable.
Yeah.
Don't go trotting out your silks and if you're going to be traveling, because, yeah, you drop it, step on it.
Right.
Any number of dumb things that happen when you're traveling, if you can wash it, yeah. So.
Right. Especially for me in a camper. I mean, yeah. I'm not in one of those big, huge RVs. I'm in a tiny little teardrop. So I don't have a lot of space. It needs to be small. And, you know, it might get dirty and I need to be able to wash it.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's key. That's key. It's important. Yeah. Yep. All right. Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I don't,
you don't travel with stuff.
I don't travel that much with that kind of thing. And I still have my banding sampler thing, so I'll just stick with that. Yeah,
and actually that's good if you're, you know, if you're going to be hoteling or something, that would be
right
because it's small, right. You know, it's all together, again, single color,
yeah,
simple stitching, easy to stop and start. That's the other thing I look
right.
for. I don't
right.
want something that's super complicated that I have to do a lot of thinking about.
Yeah, all in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
I just gotta throw in the magnifier light, and I'm good to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the key, is everything's in that bag. I can just grab that bag. I don't even have to go through it and make sure all the parts are there, scissors and stuff, because it's all in there. I've already, it just stays that way. So I can just grab and go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's nice. That's nice. Yeah. I don't know what people do that don't, I guess, don't stitch while you're in the car or while you're traveling. I'm like, okay, I get too anxious just sitting there and like, okay, I can only twiddle my thumbs so long.
Right.
And I can't read. I can't read in the car.
Oh, you can't?
No. I can stitch, but I can't read.
That doesn't make sense.
I know. Well, I don't. Do I make sense?
No.
Am I supposed to be making sense?
No, see, I can read in a car. I don't have any trouble at all. Yeah.
No.
Yep. No. Can. Yeah, there isn't. I can read. I can work on a computer. Yeah, none of it bothers me. Interesting.
Yeah.
But you can you can stitch but can't read. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, now here's another one related to that, which is interesting. Edna Sanabia sent in some topics for us to talk about. And this one kind of got me thinking. When switching from project to project, how do you not lose muscle memory, stitching memory, or muscle memory? That thing where you're a bit into a project and have the subtle things like tension, thread length, stitch choice, and vision for the finished project.
Yeah. And
that's a thinker
there. Yeah, because I thought about that when I'm working on, because I've always got multiple projects going on, and I might work on multiple projects in the same day where I'm like, okay, I'm tired of this, I'm going to move to that. And they're not just cross-stitch. So I'm moving from maybe a cross-stitch project to a needlepoint project to the white work sampler. And I have noticed it makes a difference. So I've been trying, especially when I work on the white work sampler, to say, okay, I'm going to work on this for that. I have time. I'm going to work on it for the next two nights. And that way my thoughts are, I know I'm like, okay, I've got to keep my tension tight here. Yeah, you do lose it if you don't work on it multiple days, or if you work on a lot of projects. At least for me, I do, especially with the white work. I noticed it especially there.
Yeah, no, she has a good point, because if I do counted canvas needlepoint where I like things tight, and then go to a cross stitch on linen, oh boy, I got to be conscious about tension. Because I'll pull it too tight and I'll collapse the threads, and I got to really ease up on the thing, especially if I've been doing the counted canvas for an extended period of time. Then you're just used to bringing the thread through and pulling, and you just can't do that with a sampler. So
I like I said with the white work. Because that tension is so important to get, especially if you're wrapping threads or something.
Yeah.
It makes a difference when I've stopped and I haven't done it for a while and I'm like, oh, shoot, I haven't done this. I need to, do a couple of practice wraps on the piece. So I'm not making a big mistake or making it look ugly. So it looks the same as the last time I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can look at it, know right where you started after a hiatus.
Oops. Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
Yeah. But that, but at the other end of it, that feeling when you've been working on a project for a while and you're really in a rhythm with it. Yeah, I mean, I know what Edna means by that. You're just in a rhythm. You know where you're going. The tension, thread lengths, everything is ingrained in you, and you can just sit down at any time and just move right along, and that is a very cool thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it is nice. It is nice.
Yeah. No, that one. That's a thinker there. Thank you, Edna.
Yeah.
She sent some others. We'll save it for another time. But yeah. Yeah. Always looking for ideas, something you want us to talk about. We'll do it. But, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Muscle memory for stitching. You wouldn't think of it, but it's there. It's a factor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I think people notice it too. And if they're working on, like, if I'm working on really the, like, Portafette, which is that tiny 53-63 count, my eyes do adjust if I've sat and done it for an hour. And then you're like, if I've worked on a bigger piece of linen, my eyes need to readjust to that smaller. I'm like, where are the threads? You know, even, you know, I've got my magnifiers on and, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go from 5360 to 18 count needlepoint canvas. Holy smokes. Right. It feels like you're working in manholes.
Right. Right. It's like just a totally different feel.
Yeah. 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 And there's that adjustment. And that's the thing. You know, people, I think people who have tried higher thread count linens and say, oh, I can't do that, you have to give it a chance because you'll adapt.
Yes.
And yes. And it becomes at least semi-normal. And if you have a magnifier with good light, and good light is key, you'll adapt. And then pretty soon you'll be working on the higher thread count and not really giving it much thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, too, I think some people work using different threads. I like the Swasserfine. I like that really thin thread in there with it. And I know other people just use regular silk. And I think, to me, it looks too bulky. And then I'm fighting too much to get that thread through the linen. And so you should find what works for you. Don't just take someone else's advice, I guess, is my point on that. You should see what works for you on whatever thread count you're using.
If you're gonna do a new thread count, try two or three different kinds of thread and needles.
Yes.
Maybe you like a fatter needle. Maybe you work with shorter threads and you can go with a thinner needle because you'll be done with the thread before it starts to fuzz up. If you're trying something new, there's some experimental time there that I think needs to be done. You can't just jump in and you're right. And don't base it on what other people say. Use that as a guideline and then see what works for you. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because some people like, particularly, you know, you just take basic cross stitch. Some people want those X's to feel filled. And others don't mind if you can see a little ground cloth between the X's.
Right, right.
It depends.
It just depends on how you like it and how, you know, if it's too full for me and I'm having problems pulling the thread through, then I'm not happy. I just am like, okay, this is just too thick for me. I've got to find a different, because I was working on 40 count. And I had to do some letters over one, and I was like using silk thread, and I was like, this just feels terrible. So I went down in my stash and found some 100/3, which was the same color, and it's so much easier. I had no trouble stitching up those little over one letters. So I'm glad I went and I stopped and didn't continue trying to fight with it, and moved to a smaller thread count.
Yeah.
Just made me all happy.
Yep. Well, and Kathy Ray taught us long ago when she did that series on threads about even taking one strand and splitting that if you want a thinner thread.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're on a high count and you're over one and you can't get a color that works, well, try splitting the single strand and see if you can get a thread that will work for you in that particular area and retain the color you want. You got to be careful because it may be so fragile. If you take it apart, it may be so fragile you can't stitch with it, but you know, no harm, no foul. Give it a shot. So,
right.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it.
Play around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people don't realize Swasserfine and there, particularly silks, there are some pretty fine threads available that in a lot of colors. So there are options that are not always immediately obvious. They certainly aren't obvious in the DMC rack, But there are options for thinner threads if you want to try something over one or a higher thread count.
Right. The Swastrophine is so nice. I mean, it's super, super fine, but it, to me, it's beautiful on the 5363. And then the 100/3 with the doing over one. If you want to do full crosses, it's beautiful over one. Mm-hmm. And it has such a lovely sheen. I mean, you can't capture it on, on camera, but yeah. It looks so pretty when you're stitching with it.
Yeah.
Because it does shine. It has a beautiful shine.
Yeah, and if you're doing an over one section and you switch to a different kind of thread that might have a more of a sheen, you know, take a look at that. That may be a nice addition, just that. Call a little more attention to the over one section or give it a different visual feel. Mm-hmm. May be really nice, that you know, an unexpected addition there. Yeah.
Right.
Play around. Right. It won't hurt.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
It won't hurt.
Absolutely.
Yep. This is interesting. The EGA sent an announcement just the other day that at the national seminar in Atlanta in 2024, it's always interesting in these things where the 2023 event hasn't even happened and already the planning for 2024 is well underway.
Oh, yeah. I bet 2025 is underway.
Yeah, because designers have to submit so early and so on and so forth. But they're not going to have any more lottery to get in classes. So it's first come, first serve.
Yeah, I'm glad they're doing that, because I would think that would be, you know, if you're planning on attending seminar, you generally want to take a specific class. And if you've got to wait, you got to make all your bookings, and you're not even sure if you're going to get your class, I just think that's kind of a pain. I mean, I know why they did it. They were trying to make it fair, equitable for everybody, but it's like, I think people were like, okay, this is the class I want, you know, I'd like to take it. And, so I'm glad they're doing that. I think that's great that they're changing that policy.
Yeah. It becomes when the registration opens up, it becomes like buying concert tickets, but yeah, you're right. Now I can go make my airfare and hotel and other arrangements because I know I'm getting the class I need or I want.
Right.
And right. I can do it for the days I want rather than maybe I don't want to stay the entire time, but I have to do that because I may be, you know, I may have to get an alternative class.
Right. And,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's nice. That's nice. And, yeah, they're making some good changes. I think I know they're changing the way they vote on some things. But did you know that Allison Cole is going to be here in the United States with EGA?
Yes, I did.
I didn't notice her anywhere close to me, but
I didn't look at the schedule yet. I was going to look at that and see if she was anywhere close. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is something. I mean, okay, you get someone of her caliber coming to the States, and if she is anywhere close to you, I would jump on the opportunity to take a class with her.
Yeah.
Because
that's part of that. Like last year, they had a couple teachers from overseas come to the seminar, and then somebody didn't get a visa or something broke down.
That was Hazel. Hazel Blomkamp.
Yeah. But then they come for the national seminar, and then they travel around on some kind of a schedule, so you can take a class from them. Even if you did or didn't go to the national seminar or couldn't get in their class, then you can take it from a regional event, or I don't know if it was local, but it's very cool. Yeah, and Allison Cole from Australia, jump at the chance. Yeah. You bet. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's teaching quite a variety of classes, because I took a quick look at one point. So all levels. It's not just the super advanced stuff. She's got, you know, some all classes that are available for anybody, and then some stump work, obviously. She'd be a fantastic person to take a class from.
But you didn't see any in the Midwest, huh?
Not that I noticed, or at a time I could attend. is the other issue. So I didn't, I saw there wasn't anything for me. So I was like, okay, stop looking at this and drooling on your computer. There was some in Florida is the one that was like, oh, there's a bunch of classes over here in Florida.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
that's not going to quite work for me.
No. Well, I'm going to have to take a look now and see, because I would drive a distance, you know, I would drive a distance and stay overnight to, participate in one of her classes.
Yeah. She'd be excellent. Yeah. An excellent teacher.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who else is on that circuit. I just know that Allison is.
Because last year they had two, right? They had Hazel and I forget who else it was, but.
Right, right. They generally have two. And then they, the region or chapters can book them and then they can come teach classes.
Right.
Locally. And again, what a great savings because, okay, you don't have to fly to Australia to take a class with Allison Cole, right?
Though,
I know. You wouldn't take a class with Allison. You get over to Australia, you'd be riding your bike.
Well, that goes into if I ever go to Australia, it's going to be for a month.
Okay, right. Well, yeah,
because I'm not going to Australia for a week. No way.
No.
I'm not making that trip. And I'm not going there without having a month to fully adapt and really enjoy it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those.
That's a bucket list kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to go and take a class at Allison's studio.
Oh, man. Just the pictures of that. Can you imagine just sitting there day after day taking a class?
I know.
Kangaroos bouncing around in the backyard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What would Marga do?
I don't know.
She'd find something.
Yeah. But, I do that in a heartbeat. Yep. That one and Jenny Aiden Christie's place in the back of her English garden.
Mm-hmm.
Those two always stick in my mind when it comes to where would you travel for needlework?
Yes.
Yeah, those two. Because that, you know, when you walk through the English garden to get to the little building in the back, you know, that to me, that's pure British right there. I'd do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
And then spend 3 or 4 days with Jenny Aiden Christie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Think of all that you'd learn.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and you know, Hampton Court Palace, imagine that class there. I'd do that. Yeah.
I did. And that was fun. That was a fun one day. I just said one day and it was a beautiful, beautiful place. To be in the building and taking a class at the RSN. Yeah. That was fantastic.
See, that's that extra little something.
Yes.
You're not in you're not in the fellowship hall of a church or something.
Right. You know? Right. Or a hotel conference room.
Right.
You're in a castle.
Right. The place. Yeah.
And Hampton Castle, you know, with all the Tudor stuff.
All the history. Cool.
Yes, history. Fun.
You talk about ambiance and environment right there. Yep.
Those would be
the three, I think. Allison Cole's in the woods there, Jenny Aiden Christie in the English Garden, and Hampton Court Palace.
Yep.
How old am I? Do I have time? I don't think I have time.
Oh,
not to mention the money. Holy smokes.
I know. A month in Australia, but what that cost.
You'd have to have some kind of a housing deal there, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Because the airfare
would
be. Yeah, the airfare would be. Yeah, you just accept that. But, man, a month, you'd have to have an Airbnb, something with a really good deal. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, but that would be so fun. Okay, we forgot. Yvette Stanton is in Australia.
There we go.
Wouldn't that be fun to take a class with her there?
Yep.
One of her white work.
Yep.
Oh, we could stay busy the whole time. And then Jennifer, what's her name? I follow her. She does the crazy quilting. I think she teaches there too. See, I could just do that. That's what I would do. I'd be like, okay, Max, you go wherever you're going to go, and I'm going to go to these. See ya. You'd be like, yeah, no, woman. I know you're going to spend money despite your 1 year non-spending money deal. And because it would totally go out the door there.
Max, this is when the return flight is. I'll meet you here at the check-in counter. Yeah. See ya.
Yeah. See ya. See ya. Be like, no way. No way, woman.
Wouldn't that, you know, that would be a wild, interesting experience. Because, like, you and I are with our spouses all day, every day.
Right.
Okay? So to go to fly to a place like Australia, anywhere overseas, doesn't matter, anywhere, and at the airport, go your separate ways for a month, and then come back to get on the plane to go home. I'm not sure it'd work, but it sure would be an experience, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be. And it, I think the problem would be, is I would probably be jealous because Max is one of the best travel guides there is. He always finds the most interesting places to go. So I'd be like, well, wait, I want to go there. I wish I could take my camper to Australia, although they do have a lot of poisonous little spiders and snakes and things.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I could, teleport my camper over there and travel around Australia with my little camper, that would be cool. I got to do this with Allison Cole and this with Yvette Stanton. Then I'm good. Then we'll just, I'm good.
Go do Max tourist things. Yeah.
Yes. Cause he is one of the best. Yep. I got to just say.
Yep.
Always finds interesting stuff to see.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That'd be interesting. I don't think I could do it.
No.
It wouldn't work that way. Sharon Bruce wrote to me the other day. She lives in Ireland. She just got back not too long ago from a trip to Spain. Can I tell you, I never considered Spain a place to go until I started following some cyclists who live and ride in Spain. And I'm telling you, that is now in my top five of places I would go for an overseas vacation.
Well, my son Sam had to write a paper so he and his professor could go over there for a conference, So he's over. And in fact, we actually suggested that we join him in Spain, and he politely told us no. He did not really want us to. He's going to be there for 2 weeks, and we're like, well, we could join you there, we'd go see Spain together. And he goes, like, I really wanted to do. You could come. He says, I'm not going to tell you not to come. He says, but you guys, Spain has been on my bucket list for a while. It's beautiful. It looks like a beautiful country from the pictures I've seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. And you would have the advantage because you have enough of command of the language, right?
Well, yeah, I couldn't speak to anybody, but I could understand what was going on around me, and I could read it. That's the other thing. But that would be so much fun, and all those cathedrals and the architecture, from the Moors and
I just never paid attention, and I start seeing that in cyclist videos, and it's like, whoa, I want to go see this stuff. I don't think Spain gets enough credit. Yeah.
No, and that's it. There's like my son is traveling, I can't remember, between two cities, and it's like, it's going to take me all day because it's mountainous. He said, I could do it faster on a faster train. He said, but I'm just going to take the day and enjoy the train ride. He said, that'll be great, just to see the countryside, So, that'd be fun. That would be so much fun.
But Sam didn't want his parents tagging along, huh? I don't understand.
I don't know why not. I don't know why.
You'd think he'd welcome that.
Yeah, you would think. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. No. No, old people.
That's funny. That's funny. I'm going to tell you can't, but don't expect me to hang out with you.
No, I'm not hanging out with you old people.
That's funny. Yeah. All right, well, we need to wrap up here, but there's some travel drooling for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could that be? I think that's going to be the big three for right now: Jenny Aiden Christie, Allison Cole, and Hampton Court.
Mm-hmm.
There's your triple crown of needlework.
that would be so much fun.
Can anybody beat that for a Triple Crown?
Yes. Yeah. Tell us someplace else that we need to add to our bucket list of places to go.
Yeah.
To do needlework. That's what we really want to do.
The English Garden for Jenny Aiden Christie, a palace, and Allison in the woods with kangaroos outside the window in a building that's all windows.
Yeah.
There's your Triple Crown. Somebody beat it. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Ignore the stitching technique. Doesn't matter if you want to do the stitching technique. It's taking a class in the environment. Yeah.
Right. Right. Right.
Okay. Right. We'll see.
And don't forget, we're doing starting stitch from stash June 1st. I can't even say it. It's gotten me so upset.
She's psychologically wrecked already.
I can't even say it.
She can't bring herself to say it. She's going to have to go to therapy now. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's it. It's just terrible. What am I going to do? Oh,
okay.
Horrible.
Not buying anything starting June 1.
Mm-hmm. Except for our exceptions.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we're being reasonable here. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
You need a new hoop, you buy the hoop. Yeah. That's okay.
That's okay. But I even have a stash of needles. It's like, why am I buying needles? I know I have a stash of needles in the basement. Why am I buying these?
Mm. Yeah, I've got needles. Mm. Yeah, I was just kind of looking around here. What things do I need to make sure I have on hand? I think I'm good.
Okay. Right. Right, threads, needles, canvas. You've got canvas.
Yep.
Because you bought that yard.
Yep. Got plenty of linen, plenty of canvas, plenty of Congress cloth, plenty of kitted up projects.
Yeah.
Certainly enough scissors, needles.
Yep.
Okay.
We're good. Kim, don't open your shop. Don't open your shop.
Kim isn't opening her shop 2 seconds after the final inspection.
You know it.
Oh,
and then what we do? Well, we have to go visit her.
Well, we have to visit her, but now see that's I would make an exception. That's for show purposes.
Oh, okay.
That's for the greater benefit.
Yes, for the greater good of the needlework community.
Yeah, that's a service we provide.
See, we are so thoughtful.
Yeah. No, that's different. That's different. Yeah.
Okay.
We're doing that for the people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep telling yourself that.
Yeah. You write down all the excuses so we have them, will you?
Okay. I'll send you the list. Yeah. I'll send you the list.
All right. That's going to be it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on the 31st with another podcast, and then we'll return to our regular schedule of things. All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.